Welcome back to the special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which will be the official site of the State of Minnesota Veterans Day event, which starts at 10 o'clock this morning with a free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30. We invite all of you to come out and join us. We have a special guest for this second hour of the show today is Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to see you here bright and early at the Inver Grove Heights Armory. We're expecting a good crowd, aren't we?
Yes, yes. I think it's going to be an excellent crowd. It's the flagship of the veterans ceremonies. We'll have the governor and senators, representatives here. So, yes, we're looking for a great day.
Commissioner, there may be a few folks in the state of Minnesota that don't know a little bit about your background, but you had a career in education and a long military career, didn't you?
Well, the story I tell is I was going to graduate from college, and they said you got the job that I interviewed for, except you got to figure out what the draft's going to do to you. So I volunteered and went into the military. I didn't keep count, but it was 2 years, 10 months, and 23 days. So. But it was actually transformational, and obviously the signature event was a tour in Vietnam. I served as an advisor. A lot of people always ask you, you know, when were you there and what did you do? I was an advisor, and I had a five-man team, and we lived in the Vietnamese village and worked with them, and I learned a whole new culture, a whole new experiences, and it was somewhat of a atypical deployment.
And we're going to talk a little more about Vietnam in their second segment, but you went on to have a great military career and spent your last 7 years as Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, actually, I was dating my wife, now my wife of 40-plus years at the time, and a neighbor that was next to her recruited me into the National Guard, so I figured I would do that as long as it worked, and it worked for 30-some years. Started out as a young lieutenant and finished as the Adjutant General. Wonderful event.
So, Commissioner, now you're Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You went from commanding 14,000 airmen and soldiers over to taking care of 370,000 veterans.
380,000.
All right, good. We got 10,000 more.
Yeah, and it's been phenomenal. Going from the op tempo of deploying the soldiers and so forth was quite strenuous, but the now working with the veterans has been extremely rewarding, and there's a mission there, a very serious mission and a sense of purpose. So I'm very, very excited, and the beauty of it is the state of Minnesota is stepping forward, making sure that the veterans are taken care of. And on the federal level, Minnesota is extremely well respected on the federal level, so we're doing well.
Commissioner, a couple of times a year, Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 gives us the honor to be on the air from 6 to 9 a.m. You were with us on Memorial Day when we were talking about that, and here we're back on Veterans Day with a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory. And there's a big difference between Memorial Day, when we honor those who have given their lives for a country, and Veterans Day, where we're honoring all veterans.
Yes, and I think that's an important distinction, because all veterans, a lot of times they feel if they weren't deployed overseas during a conflict, it's their service is not valued or honored as much as those who did do that. And I have, a lot of times when I speak publicly, in many ways, I kind of wish, if anything, we'd be back in the Cold War days where we weren't in conflict. We were in just kind of a sparring match. So those who served in uniform, I just want to say thank you for your service also, and never be extremely proud of that service, because a lot of times people will come up and say, well, I didn't serve in Vietnam, or I didn't serve in this war, but you did serve, and served very, very honorably, and value added was definitely there for our country.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. Commissioner, what do you think about on Veterans Day as opposed to maybe Memorial Day? Is it a special day for you?
They both are. They both conjure up the memories of my individual personal experiences, whether in Memorial Day is special, but Veterans Day is special too. And as every veterans know, they will never forget their military experiences. And so it just gives me time to stop, pause and reflect and driven to making sure that we take care of all of our veterans, regardless of time, place, or situation.
Commissioner, it seems to me, as a Vietnam veteran, that these days fewer and fewer of us serve in the military and do those duties, and a lot of our young men and women are deploying multiple times over and over again, as opposed to, say, World War II when everyone was involved, or Korea when a lot of people were involved, and Vietnam, of course, a lot of us were in. Mm-hmm. But these veterans do as much work and risk their lives as much as any veterans ever have, and these multiple deployments have been tough on them, haven't they?
Well, yes, and it conjures up. But if you study the history of wars, if you will, you go to Vietnam, and we'll be celebrating its 50th anniversary, but that was 13, 14 years long. This is getting to be 13, 14 years long. So as I'm saying publicly, is we have to take a look at when if we do go into conflicts and so forth, the duration is getting to the point of why are we there so long? So I'm very, very concerned about that. So but these young people, they're the top 2% of our country, and they are serving so admirably, and it becomes extremely important that we take good care of them when they come back home.
And the quality and the character of these young men and women is extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, yeah. In other words, they have to be in the top 2%, 3% of the country to begin with. They have to be high school educated, minimum, physically fit, and that rigor is extremely important to the military, because as when they get out, if they came in with a pre-existing condition, they may be getting benefits that we didn't find out about. So, we're working very, very hard to make sure that we have the best military in the world.
Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about our generation, Vietnam generation, and some of our buddies that we're honoring today as well on Veterans Day. This is a Veterans Day special edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which is going to be the site of the official State of Minnesota Veterans Day event at 10 a.m. this morning. Free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30. Come on out and join us. Should be a great time. This is Tom Lyons, host of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which will be the official site of the State of Minnesota Veterans Day event at 10 a.m. this morning. The free breakfast being put on from 8:30 to 9:30. It's great weather. It's not snowing. Come on out and join us. My co-host for this hour has been Commissioner Larry Shelito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, it's always good to see you and talk to you on the radio.
Well, you're a great host.
Well, thank you, sir.
Really, seriously, thank you for all that you do. There's a lot of love and devotion into your show, and you've been a key, and you're steadily growing, I understand.
Well, it's been an honor to tell the stories, and as you know, we tell the stories of the military in Minnesota, veterans benefits from your department, the Yellow Ribbon Program, and we like to interview our heroes, our friends and neighbors that have served in the service. And
now, do you have a story for me that you want to...
We do have a story for you, because I want to finish what you just said. We're now up to 18 stations on the Minnesota
18.
Military
and
Radio
growing.
Network, and growing.
Yeah, I know there are two or three communities that are in the weeds getting ready to come on board, too.
And it's all thanks to the bosses over at Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 for putting us on the air.
Thank you, bosses.
So now you can hear the show Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. or podcast online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. And, of course, out in the boonies, out in the outstate Minnesota, you can hear it on 17 other stations. Commissioner, I want to talk a little bit this segment about our generation, Vietnam veterans.
Yep, been there, done that.
When we came back from the war zone, it was a funny time in the United States.
It was funny is a strange word. It was definitely different. And
race riots. There were bad draft dodgers. They were blaming the soldiers for the war.
I got to tell you a quick story. When I was the adjutant general, we had some of my people come in, and there was going to be a protest at one of the recruiting stations. And they said, there's going to be about 20 people there. And I kind of smiled at him and says, don't worry, that's not a protest then.
We can handle that anytime. Well, when we came back, it was they were blaming us for the war. And thankfully, I think our generation has taught our sons and daughters and granddaughters and grandsons that respect those that served and talk to the politicians today about where we send them and where we don't. But the Vietnam War was a different war. All wars are different. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've got a little story that we wanted to play from General Vesey. He's a good friend of yours, isn't he?
That's right. He, in fact, he was on the board that appointed me to be the adjutant general. He chaired that, and I'm... And he is really, truly the godfather of the 34th Infantry Division.
Well, he was the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and after he was done with that, he was a special emissary to President Reagan to go over and track down the MIAs and the prisoners of war in Vietnam. And we had him on the show a while back, and he told us a story that I thought was appropriate for today. Adam, can you run that?
We thought we were fighting a Viet Cong regiment. And I found out later, during the time I was doing the negotiations with the Vietnamese on the POW business, I met the commander who was the commander on the other side at that battle. By that time, he had become the new Vice Minister of Defense. And he explained to me that it was not a Viet Cong regiment. It was, in fact, a North Vietnamese division that we were fighting against that particular day. So we wound up, again, firing cannons, direct fire at very close range during that battle.
Which for an Air Force guy means you've pulled them down to the ground and fired them directly into the enemy.
Indeed. And by that time, we had a munition that helped us do that. It was called the Beehive munition, and it was a munition designed exactly for that experience. And it actually turned the howitzer shell into a mini shotgun shell. It was loaded with flechettes and had an extra explosive charge in the shell itself to propel the flechettes. They were about like a 10-penny nail with fins on them to stabilize them, and they'd scatter out. And of course, one shell would cover considerable area.
When you met the North Vietnamese commander after the war, when you were on your recovery efforts, did he mention anything about that?
He did. It was a strange meeting. We had the plenary session in the morning, which they're always fairly formal, where both sides read what their governments want them to say. And then we were at lunch. And I was sitting next to this fellow who was the new Vice Minister of Defense, and this Vietnamese officer said, you don't know me, but I know you. And by this time, I had been in and out of Hanoi for 6 years, and there was always some publicity on their TV station or in their newspaper about my visits, and I thought he knew me because of that. And then he immediately went on to say, you were the American commander at the Battle of Sui Tre, and I was commanding the Vietnamese 9th Division. And he said, you killed a lot of my men that day. And I said, you killed a lot of my men that day. And then he went on to say that the war was over. We needed to resolve the differences between our two countries.
Commissioner, there's quite a message there, isn't there? It was a brutal war, and when the war was over and we were trying to track down the missing in action and the POWs, there was work to do, and what a meeting that was. What a poignant meeting.
Yes, you know, a lot of Vietnam veterans are wondering, you know, one of the questions we ask now to each other is, do you want to go back? And I'm amazed at the reaction. A lot of veterans, they pause, they think about it, And they do, but they don't. I'm one of them where I'm going to go back. I'm going to walk the terrain. I'm just afraid to do it. Strange, you know, I've traveled the world, but that's something extremely important.
Well, Commissioner, when you do that, I'd like to go with you, and maybe we'll take Sergeant Ben with us, and we'll do a broadcast from over there. How's that?
That would be wonderful.
I think we got him in trouble for the morning, but we got to get him in trouble every broadcast, don't we?
Yeah.
Any final thoughts about Vietnam and our Vietnam veterans? You're taking care of a lot of them.
We're taking care of a lot of them, and again, go Vietnam vets, don't suck it up anymore. Go see your county veteran service officer and just visit with them and do those types of things, because for all those that served over there, the memories are real. They are consistent, and that makes you normal, you know. So,
and some of the problems they might be experiencing are a direct result of exposure to Agent Orange.
That is correct, and those are presumptive. So you just the worst thing you can do is nothing, to be honest with you. And just to go to find out is just an important visit.
Well, Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that process and how we take care of our veterans here in Minnesota. And you're doing a great job of that. This is a special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, broadcasting live from the Emgrove Heights Armory, which will be the official site of the State of Minnesota Veterans Day event program at 10 a.m. this morning. Free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30. Come out and join us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
It's Jack and Ben now. Glenn Beck next at 9.
On Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, sitting in for Up and Adam, Jack and Ben in the morning with a special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Invergrove Heights Armory, which will be the site of the official State of Minnesota Veterans Day event starting at 10 a.m. this morning. A little free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30, so come on out and join us. And my co-host has been Commissioner Larry Shelledole from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
And good morning, Tom, and again, thank you for all that you do for veterans in the state of Minnesota.
Well, it's an honor to be part of it, and it's always fun to talk to you, sir.
Yeah.
One of the things that we always talk about, and we've had a lot of county veteran service officers on the radio with us on the show that can be heard Sunday mornings at 7 a.m., Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. That sound like a commercial, sir?
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Well, we've had every county has a veteran service officer, and some counties have more. And you work closely with them because that's really the go-to place for every veteran if they have an issue or if they want to find out some resources to help.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, that whole concept. The state, a number of years ago, required that the counties have a county veteran service officer. And, oh, by the way, it was an unfunded mandate. A common phrase we hear sometimes. But I want to also commend the counties for sustaining that and supporting that, because the veterans within those communities are critical. And the county veteran service officers is the point or the center of gravity, and that is the first point of contact. So if anyone has any questions, what are they saying on this radio show? Or what are they saying anywhere? Go to the county veteran service officer. Now, with the county veteran service officer, we have our veteran service organizations, and each of those have subject matter experts that deal with benefits at the state level, and then obviously there's people at the local level that are subject matter experts also, but the worst thing a veteran can do is nothing. And I've gotten to the point, because there's some veterans out there that are stubborn.
They are.
They just, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay. So I'll take care of my brethren. And that's very, very honorable. But I want to just throw this challenge out. Are you taking care of your family? Because, you know, and you mentioned earlier, Agent Orange is a real issue. And a lot of those illnesses that are associated with that are presumptive. And the time to start seeking stuff is not... Do it while you're ready and able. So,
no, I understand what you're saying, sir, because I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was exposed to Agent Orange, and yep. And I have a little type 2 diabetes problem.
Yep.
And when your deputy commissioner came and talked to me about that, I said, nah, go take care of the guys that were wounded and lost body parts and all that.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you were exposed to Agent Orange. Let's get you out there. Let's file a claim. Let's do some stuff. And fortunately, I listened to him and went out, and the VA hospital in Minneapolis is, what a tremendous operation.
Oh, they're phenomenal. It's really one of the flagships in the VA system, that and St. Cloud. But VISN 23, which includes the surrounding states, is very well. Minnesota is served by four of them, Minneapolis, obviously, and St. Cloud. But our Northwest District has the Fargo VA, and then our Southwest has the Sioux Falls VA. So, and they are all excellent facilities, with the mothership, of course, being Minneapolis.
You hear stories I've heard all my life that you go out to the VA hospital and it's just a bunch of old vets out there all beat up and all that. And that may be true, but when you went out, it's a modern facility. The technology is excellent, just as good as any other hospital, and the treatment is superb.
But, Tommy, you got to remember, you and I are now old, beat-up veterans.
Oh, no. What happened, Commissioner?
I don't know. But it brings up another point. The benefits that the veterans are receiving in the state of Minnesota nationally are because of the veterans from prior generations. And I just want to talk to the new generation of veterans, the first Gulf War and the current conflicts. One of the key centers of gravity of support has been our veteran service organizations. And I tell the story that when I joined, I'm really a member of five of the nine congressionally, life members of most. And the issue is I need them to stay active and viable. And this young generation of veterans say, well, I don't want to join because I don't see anything that they're doing for me, is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. And do like I did. Pay the dues, make sure that those organizations are taking care of veterans, and then if I need it, I'll have it available. But bottom line up front, here in any generation, take a look at your benefits, get it checked up, and make sure that your family is taken care of, if not you.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shelado from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on their special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Commissioner, when I joined the VFW and the American Legion back in the 70s, the World War II guys were always complaining about, where's your Vietnam buddies? How come they're not signing up? And now you go to any of those veteran organizations and they're complaining. They're saying, where are the Desert Storm guys? Where are the Afghanistan, Iraq guys? Yeah. Kind of a historical problem, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, but when I first went back, I was just fresh out of Vietnam, I ran into a World War II vet, and all he wanted to talk about was his experience. And when I started talking, even tried to talk about mine, they didn't want to listen, because each war is the big war, and each generation was the big generation. And you just accept that, and you say, all right, I now understand, and I'm in control. But bottom line up front is we have a commitment that we will not leave any of our soldiers behind. That is absolute. And that means even when they're back home, we will not leave them behind. So, we just need every veteran to step forward to make sure that not only they are helping support the service organizations that are taking care of it, but they're talking to those county commissioners to make sure that they have quality VSOs and they're being taken care of, and that they are holding our national leaders accountable also.
Commissioner, just to reinforce that, we've seen the work that the Commander's Task Force commanders do because of the nine veteran service organizations that are federally chartered. We've had them all on the radio the last couple of years.
And thank you for that.
And they're working hard, and they go up to the state legislature, and they talk about veterans' issues, and they contribute their voices to some lobbying at Congress. And it's really more important than just going joining a club and maybe go down and have an adult beverage once in a while. It's adding your name, your voice, to all the other veterans' voices when we go out and we talk about veterans' issues.
Minnesota's truly best with some strong people with strong commitments, and they work together. And one of the things that the task force does is they create a unified effort. And that unified effort resonates extremely well at the national and state levels.
Commissioner, I don't know where this hour is going, but we're going to come back for one more segment, and we're going to be joined by Les Hansen to talk about Toys for Military Kids, which is a pretty interesting organization and a good foundation this time of year. So this is Tom Lyons with Commissioner Larry Shelado on our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio right here on Newstalk, AM 1130. We'll be back shortly. Please stay with us.
Jack and Ben now. Jason Lewis on your way home. This is Twin Cities News Talk.
AM 1130.
Welcome back to our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which is going to be the official site of the State of Minnesota Veterans Day event this morning at 10 a.m. with a free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. So come on out and join us. Might be a little chilly out there today, but it's nothing for us Minnesotans, is it, Commissioner?
What was that?
My co-host for this hour has been Commissioner Larry Shelladone for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I caught him napping over there.
No,
25, 30 degrees doesn't bother us, does it, sir?
No. This is wonderful. But I did get out last night to cover my air conditioner, thinking I won't be using it anymore this year.
We might get an Indian summer yet, sir. You never know.
Okay.
Commissioner, in this segment, we've got a special guest joining us, Les Hansen from AUSA, and he's the chairman of Toys for Military Kids, which is toys and the number for military kids. Les, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Seems like we've had you on each year for the last few years, and we're happy to have you back out here at the Inver Grove Heights Armory.
Well, I appreciate that.
Can you give us a little basic rundown, the AUSA first, and then Toys for Military Kids?
Well, the AUSA is the Association of the United States Army. We're a chapter that's been around for over 50 years, named after General Vesey. We're actually an advocate for all branches of the service, even though it's the Association of the United States Army.
And Les, how did you get started on the issue of providing toys for military kids?
2001, after 9/11, I wanted to rejoin, but they didn't need clerk typist anymore, and I was a little too old. So God tapped me on the shoulder the following spring and said, with all the contacts that you have in the business world, let's do a toy program. So for the first 3 years, we did this on our own, struggled because it was not a nonprofit, and then we joined up with the Association of the United States Army, which is a nonprofit organization. And we're in our 11th year this year.
And go ahead.
Yeah. Well, how does it all work exactly? As you're doing it and working with the chapter, and then getting the community involved.
Well, first and foremost, the program only works because of the public participation, wanting to show their gratitude for our freedom. We actually approach the units and go through their family readiness group and ask them if they'd like our support, and in return, they'll send us a list of the children's ages and sexes, and then if they're out state, we'll grant them the money for their toys, and if they're in state, we will actually bring the toys to the armories, and if they'd like, we show up with a Santa Claus and a Mrs. Claus, and we'll do the whole party for them. If not, we'll just deliver the toys.
Les, how did you figure out there was a need for toys for some of these families?
Well, as I was in the National Guard, and never had to go to Vietnam, served from 68 to 75. But with a reservist being activated, unless they have a very generous employer, they're losing about two-thirds of their income. Now, the kids can understand mom and dad going and fighting the bad guys, but how come Santa Claus couldn't come? And so we started it to fill that void and hopefully bring Santa Claus into their lives.
And how's this grown over the years?
Well, we've done almost $500,000 in 10 years in toys and money. And, again, it only grows with the public's participation.
Les, was there anything like this back when you were in the Guard and when I was in the Guard after I was in the Air Force?
I don't believe so.
I don't remember anything.
No, I don't believe so.
But the commissioner says we're getting old, so we might have forgotten that.
You know, but I'd like to point something out that Les is doing that's so powerful is the fact that, you know, in the reserve components and so forth, that one weekend a month, you know, the term weekend warrior, those types of things. But over the years, it's amazing the number of family weekends that the soldiers and sailors and airmen, Marines have missed, the birthday parties, the weddings, and all of those types of things. So what we're seeing here is bringing the outsides coming in and helping the family connect with mom or dad and what they are doing and their service to our country. It's in the military, we'd call it a PSYOPS, psychological operation. But what's important is the fact that the community is telling the service members and their families, we do care. And I want to thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, actually, one of the important things was for the soldier that may be in the middle of nowhere to understand that there are people here that unconditionally love them for what they're giving for our country without even knowing who they are.
And Les, I know every year we've had you on the show each year, and you're doing a great job, but what do you need? Do you need volunteers? Do you need toys? Do you need money? Do you need all of the above?
Well, you know, money is important for the outstate units, and it is a nonprofit, so it is a tax deduction. Toys are excellent. We've also branched into trying to find soldiers that are in desperate need of some support during the holiday season, maybe underemployed, unemployed. And the main thing that I want to stress is that you could adopt a soldier's family anonymously and make that difference. Walk up to their door and hand them their Christmas presents for the Christmas season. Not only the children, but also the parents from the children. And then turn around and walk away and know that you've made a difference.
For those people that want to find out more about Toys for Military Kids, we'll have a link on our website. On our Facebook at Minnesota Military Radio. Les, thanks for joining us this morning at this special Veterans Day event.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to do it.
Commissioner Shalado, we're just about out of time for this hour. I want to thank you for being our co-host. And I know you probably got one last message for our listeners, and that might be to go find your discharge paper and go visit someone.
That's right. If you can't find your discharge paper, your DD-214, we do have on file at our office, so you can call the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But more importantly, go to your county veteran service officer and just sit down with them and say, hey, can we just do a quick assessment of my situation, and so that at least you know. It becomes extremely important.
Any final thoughts from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, sir?
I want to thank the great state of Minnesota for all that they do in making sure that we take care of our veterans, and the phrase we use is bringing them all the way home. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. We're going to have to take another break. We're at the end of the second hour of the show. When we come back next hour, we'll be joined by Senator Klobuchar and the Adjutant General of the state of Minnesota, Major General Rick Nash. This is Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting from the Emerald Grove Heights Armory, which is going to be the site of the state of Minnesota official Veterans Day event at 10 a.m. this morning. Come on out and see us. This is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.